Beloved friends, welcome to Radio Blast, a voice in the end time. We will listen today to a very important message about the seven churches of the Book of Revelation. We're here with David, 14 years old. He's helping us with the music, with the computer. And Brother Joseph, hello.
Hello, God bless you.
God bless you too.
Praise the Lord.
So Brother Joseph, these seven messages of Jesus to the seven churches, they include beautiful promises and also instructions and also some scolding. In other words, exactly what we need.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell us, is this something that just belongs to the past? They existed, the seven churches, and it's something that happened and that's it?
Well, this is, yes, for the past, definitely for the seven churches of the Book of Revelation, to whom this was addressed. It's also for us today, because as you read through these two chapters, you see that definitely it applies to the churches of today very much.
Okay.
In fact, it seems like written for this period. And then it also has a third reading, which is a prophetic view of all the churches in the last 2,000 years. If these churches wouldn't have been prophetic, okay, then the God wouldn't have put them in the most prophetic book of the Bible, the Book of Revelations. If they would have been just some moral teaching, just some something like the Epistle of Paul, then it would have been with the Epistle of Paul, kind of.
So
but no, it's in the Book of Revelation, so it is definitely prophetic for the last 2,000 years.
In what sense of the prophetic?
It's prophetic that you'll see each church represents a church age, all the way up to now, to the end time, and all the way to the end that we are now living.
All right.
So, if you see from the first church, you want to read the first church, like the church of Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2.
All right.
You can start verse 3 until 5.
All right, Revelation chapter 2, verse 3.
To the church of Ephesus.
And
this is Jesus speaking, okay?
Yes. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent.
All right. So this is the church of the first century, a church that was leaving, departing for the love for Christ. Persecution was mounting, life was getting hard, and people were kind of getting settled, trying not to preach too radical, try to please the world, they were just cooling down.
But isn't it that the first church are the best sample in the history of the church as far as
the church of Christ, the church of Jesus, yes. But then eventually the church began to cool down. You can see by the message of Paul to the Corinthians, to the Galatians,
mm-hmm.
the Epistle of James. I mean, some churches were kind of off the track, which is happening today. It's been happening off and on all the time. You see, in verse 2, it says, I know what?
In verse 2, I know your works.
Okay, so this is a pattern that repeats seven times to the seven churches.
To each church.
He says, I know your works. It doesn't say, I know you're under grace, don't worry, go to sleep in church. Just sing a few songs on Sunday morning, you're under grace. You have to do nothing for me, I love you just the same. No, he says, I know your works. And it repeats every time to every church.
Yes.
Okay, and unless this church would go back to the first love, verse 5, he says, I will come quickly and remove your lampstand. Lampstand is like is the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in other words, close down the church, persecution, unless you repent.
Yes.
Second church is Smyrna.
Verse, so you're saying the first church represents in the history of the church,
mm-hmm. represents
the stage
the first
of
century.
Of the first century.
Exactly. So each church has a century or more.
All right.
Okay, this is the first century. From Jesus, resurrection, until the end of the century, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to the second church, the second stage.
Smyrna, Revelations 2:9. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan.
Synagogue of Satan. You see, he's talking about the Jews who call themselves Jews, circumcised in the flesh, but they're a synagogue of Satan.
What does that mean?
It means that just like they were false Jews, now there are false Christians. It's a message, a sober message to the Christians of all times. Be careful that your faith in Christ be real and not false. don't base your faith or that because you're baptized in water or stuff like that, like the Jews were circumcised in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful, because a synagogue of the people of God could become a synagogue of Satan. A church of a Christian church can become a church of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
All right, verse 10.
Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
See, these 10 days symbolize the 10 major persecutions the church went through for the first 3 centuries under the Roman persecutions.
Yeah.
Okay, 10 days, 10 persecutions, symbolic of that. Also, it shows that the church is not taken away from tribulation. Like today, many are teaching wrongly the church will be spared from tribulation, will be raptured before, because God loves the church so much. We're under grace. We have a new covenant. It's not by works. It's all wrong. The church always went through tribulation. The Old Testament, saints of God,
yeah,
in the New
that.
Testament. History teaches for the first 300 years there were tribulation, 10 major tribulation. Christians were crucified, burned, tortured, etc. How come now all of a sudden this doesn't apply anymore? So it's a wrong doctrine. Based on what? On nothing. Because the scripture shows clearly, like it says in Acts 14:22, through many tribulation you shall enter the kingdom of God. Okay, let's keep going. Next church.
So Smyrna represents?
Well, that's the following period. Smyrna, basically, it would be the second century until 313. 313, that was when Constantine legalized Christianity, okay, and Christianity became the national religion. In fact, they started persecuting and killing mm-hmm. people who did not become Christians. So from persecuted, they became persecutors.
All
That's
right.
terrible. And so you see, it was becoming more and more worldly after 313, okay, after the legalization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the period between the end of the first century, the year 100, until 313.
When there was a lot of persecution.
During that period, there were 10 major persecution.
Okay.
And the church was purified and everything. This is the second stage, second church. Third church, third stage, Pergamos, Revelation 2, 12 until 17. You want to read
Revelation 2?
Yeah, Pergamos. You can start from verse 13.
All
Pergamos.
Right. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
Wow. So doctrine of the Nicolaitans was like sexual immorality. Nevertheless, this was a good church. There are martyrs and everything. Nevertheless, says you have to be careful and repent, otherwise I'm going to fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Jesus is going to fight against these Christian guys. So this is the church of Pergamos, that was where the throne of Satan was. That was supposed to be like it was the throne with a Roman emperor sitting on it, and they were worshiping, offering incense, or worshiping the emperor as a god, because he claimed to be a god. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so that was the throne of Satan. It was not inside the church, like mm-hmm. some people are teaching.
Okay, okay.
It was actually a statue in the
an
city.
An idol.
Yeah, they couldn't have a throne of Satan in the middle
okay.
of the church.
Yes.
Doesn't make sense, okay? Okay, so that's Pergamos, all right. So this basically is the following era. That was from Constantine, 313 AD, until 800, all the way up there.
What happened in this period?
Okay,
in
this period, the church is legalized. You see, Pergamos, it gives them the prophecy here that you have the doctrine of Balaam, the Nicolaitans. In other words, this church, Pergamon, represents the church that mixes, blends with the world. In mm-hmm. fact, the next stage from the 4th century until the 8th century, like 313 until 800, is like the church becomes like more and more and more worldly. They began persecuting the true Christians, etc. All right, so that's the Church of Pergamos, and this is the third stage. Let's go to the fourth era, Thyatira, Revelation 2:18 to 29.
I read it all?
Well, you can start from 19.
19. I know your works, love, sacrifice, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works.
Okay, got that?
Yes.
So that's pretty clear that the church is going down the slippery slope. It's getting worse and worse and worse. The age will be like from the 800 until around the year 1000. Specifically, I put down here 1054. We will see in the next church why.
Okay.
Okay, the next church of Sardis, we'll see why 1054. Okay, so that's pretty clear, okay? Thyatira, the church is like it gets infested by all kinds of stuff, sexual immorality, false doctrines. And the church at this period becomes officially part of the Roman Empire. The very official time, it happens in the year 800, just at the end of this age. Okay, so let's go to the fifth era.
Okay.
Sardis, Revelation 3, 1 to 6.
From 1 to 6.
Okay, Sardis, you can start from, See, I know your works.
I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead.
Okay, we just read the condensation. Of course, your brethren are welcome to study word by word.
Yes.
Our time is very limited. You can go to verse 5.
Verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Okay, basically, it's all in this couple of scriptures. It says, I know your works, you have a name to be alive, but you are dead.
Okay.
So this church is half dead. There are some alive and some dead. And verse 5, we read something terrible. It says, he overcomes, shall be clothed in white garment, and I will not blow out his name from the book of life. In other words, be careful, Church of Sardis, be careful, Christian of Sardis. You're in danger of eternal hell. Now, we understand there are two books, okay? The book of life is where everybody is written as soon as you're born. You can be raised if you decide to follow the devil, deny the Lord, etc.
Yes.
Then there is the book of the Lamb, from where you cannot be raised because you're protected by Jesus Christ, by the Lamb. You are written with indelible ink, the blood of Christ. That's the book of the Lamb, Revelation 13:8, Revelation 17:8, Revelation chapter 21. It talks about the book of the Lamb. It's a different book. All right, that's a book that Jesus protects you. You cannot lose salvation, contrary to some wrong teaching of today. Okay, the difference?
Yes, yes. There are on our radio, you find the detailed messages and scriptures about the difference between the two books, and also on YouTube.
All right, so basically, after the church joins the world, in the age 800, like the past church, the church before which we just studied, Thyatira, which we said it was from 800 to 1054, why 800? 800 because that was the year when Charlemagne delivered the whole Europe. Okay, he was the king of the Franks, France. He delivered the whole Europe, most of Europe, the most, to the Pope. Okay, so here the church becomes officially the Holy Empire.
Like, so it mixes with politics.
Yeah, exactly. The church joins the Roman Empire again.
Mm.
It only puts a nice name, a good-looking name, Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah.
So that happens at the year 800. This goes until the year 1054, and that's where the Sardis begin. 1054, there was one day, it was the Pope Leo the IX. In 1054, he gets one day, says, claims to be the universal bishop and to have universal authority and jurisdictions all over the churches of all over the world. And that brings the crack. Here is where church divide, okay, between the Christian Church of the West, Rome as a capital, Holy Roman Empire, and the Church of the East with Byzantium.
Okay.
Byzantium is the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire, which eventually Byzantium becomes Constantinople, which becomes modern Istanbul, all right? That today is Islam. Okay, so that's where the church divides, because they divided because the Pope claimed the universal jurisdiction, which actually there's nothing in the Bible you can base that kind of claim. All right, so that's it. So this brings us to the year of 1500. So this era, Sardis, is the Dark Ages. It's the darkest period of the church history. And he goes,
yeah, there are some important men who got killed because of their faith in this period.
Martyrs,
like Wycliffe and some others.
Yeah, Wycliffe, John Huss, and many other. Martin Luther, they tried to kill him, but they couldn't. It was a mess. Okay, so these are called the Dark Ages, all right, and until the 1500. In 1492, America gets discovered, and the Christian persecuted in Europe are able to move out to go to America, the two Americas, to seek refuge. And this brings us to the next era, Church number 6, Revelation 3, 7 to 13, which is the Church of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, yes. Shall I read it all?
You can start from, look, in verse 8, it says, I know your works. You see, it repeats all the time, I know your works.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't say, don't worry, you're under grace.
No.
You can be ashamed of me. You can be lazy. You don't have to go preach the gospel. You're under grace. You are under the covenant. You are under my blood. All these are just lies.
Yes.
Of course, you are under the blood of the covenant. But that it gives you salvation for free. But the rest, you have, as far as the blessing and the rewards in heaven, it's all by works in Christ. So beware of false prophets who tells you have to do nothing for Jesus. You still be blessed. God loves you the same. Well, God loves you. It's not exactly. God loves everybody, but there is a differentiation.
Amen.
He will bless one. He will not bless another, as we will see. Okay, then you can start. For you have little strength. I've kept my word and I've not denied my name. You see, it's conditional. The blessing are conditional. You can start from verse 9.
Revelation 3:9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those which dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown.
Wow, so in other words, the crown you can lose, you understand? See, verse 10 it says, because, it's a big because. Okay, because what?
Because
you kept my command, I also, it's condition, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. You see, people are using this scripture wrongly to try to prove that the rapture before the tribulation. It doesn't say that at all. It takes the imagination. An incredible imagination to interpret like that. But even if you want to interpret, apply this to the rapture, which is completely out of context, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking about rapture here. But let's imagine talking about the rapture. Well, it's conditional. It's not automatic just because you're Pentecostal, a Baptist, an evangelical, a Catholic, okay? That doesn't make you eligible for automatic rapture before the tribulation, because simply it's not here.
No, it doesn't say anything about the rapture.
All right, it's conditional. It's not automatic for all Christians. Because you kept my word, I also will keep you. So it doesn't say, go to sleep, you're going to be raptured because I don't want you to suffer through the tribulation. That's
Philadelphia.
This is Philadelphia, and it's from the time here should be something around 1500 to the 1900. Okay, 16, 17, 18, and 19. That's
so this is the period 400 of
years.
Revival.
Exactly. It's called this is called the Renaissance.
Yes.
In the history of the world. Renaissance in the history of the world is a French name. It means rebirth, born again. And this was the church of the rebirth. Out of that, the Dark Ages, these are the virgin with oil, the truly born again, and this represents a bride of Christ.
So then it started with Martin Luther.
Actually, even before. It started with, I think, even the Waldese, and in the 1200, Waldo was an Italian. He had to seek refuge in the mountains of northern Italy to escape the long arms of Rome. And that's in northern Italy, on the mountains, you find today a lot of Waldese, in the 1200. And then John Huss was burned on the stake, and a few other, Wycliffe.
But that was still the Dark Ages, that period.
This was during the Dark Ages. And then Martin Luther came at the end of the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Okay, in the 16th century. And then and on and on. And so, in fact, when they began to write the Bible in the local language, that was a Renaissance. It was a period of enlightenment.
So you're saying Philadelphia starts in the 1500,
not 1500?
Before?
Philadelphia starts in the 1500, after the Dark Ages.
Right.
1500 to 1900, about 1900. I would say until the Azusa Street, San Francisco, America, in 1906, I think, for a few years, the Azusa Street. And then after that, Azusa Street went down. Okay, because the local church, they tried to organize everything. They were too wild. So as soon as they organized everything, the Holy Spirit left. And that's it. That was. And then after that was World War I.
Yes.
That was the devil answers to the Azusa Street. So praise the Lord. So let's go to the seventh and last church, the seventh era, Revelation 3:14 until 22. You got that?
Right. Yes.
You can start from 15.
I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow.
See, if you talk to any, if you go to any born-again church today, 99%, they all went to sleep on the pillow or somebody's books, that they're going to be raptured before the tribulation. Why? Because it says here in Revelation 3:10 to the Church of Philadelphia that God is going to protect them. But that's a promise to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Who told you belong to Philadelphia?
It's true, yeah.
Listen, there are Christians who belong to Laodicea, to Sardis.
Yeah.
This promise in Revelation 3:10 is not to the Christians. It's to one church, a small, little church, Philadelphia. There was a very small group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all the other churches, they were completely different message, not so pleasing, and some were completely opposite, like this one, I vomit you out. Who told you belong to Philadelphia, not to Laodicea? Well, it's very pretty easy to know who belongs where, by the works, which keeps repeating every time. I know your works. And these guys are going to sleep with grace. I have a new covenant. I can do nothing for Jesus. And I'm going to be blessed. You're going to be vomited out, not blessed.
The Lord clearly says it here that you are deceived. You say you need nothing, but you are miserable. You're blind.
Do you see the gospel of prosperity here?
It's amazing, yeah.
Can you read the 17? Gospel of prosperity.
Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, but do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
You understand? These guys are in the gospel of prosperity. They are not blessed. Yeah, they are rich, but not because they're blessed of God. They are blessed by the world. And they are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. But they are rich, yeah, rich in the flesh.
They are deceived.
Rich in the flesh, like the Roman emperor, like Herod, like the Pharisee. But in the spirit, in God's eye, they were naked, as naked as a rich man in Luke 16, wasn't even saved. Okay, so this period is from the 1900 until the return of Christ and the rapture. So let's try to be faithful.
So this God is our days then.
Exactly, because this gospel of prosperity in this church, it is because Babylon and its materialism has entered into, can you read that? Revelation 18, 2 until 4. See,
yes.
Babylon and its materialism has entered into the churches under the cover of gospel prosperity. Can you read?
Revelation 18, 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues.
That's it. And this is the end, my friends, of the seven steps through the seven churches of the Apocalypse, or the
so
Revelation.
The Laodicea,
that's it, that's a message.
Yeah, the Laodicea represents our days that we live now, the church
Sorry?
Of today.
Laodicea?
The period of Laodicea represents
yeah,
the church of today.
Absolutely. Don't you see that the churches today are just thinking about they give a little money to God so God can give back more. It's such a deceit. You don't give to God so you can get back. You give to God because you love God. And understand? You sacrifice on the altar not to get it back. You burn it. Okay? And that's it.
And the total of the seven churches, basically they represent the historical stages of the church. Yes,
the seven steps of the last 2,000 years. Amazing, all the way until today. You can see how each one of these churches is a photograph of these eras, including this era we're living now. You know, they're not arranged by importance, because the most important is number 6, the number of man,
yeah.
If anything. No, they're arranged chronologically. Mm-hmm. If anything, God would have finished with Philadelphia, the glorious, victorious church. No, he finished with one of the worst church, Laodicea. Why? Because they're chronologically arranged.
Yes, yes.
Okay, until today. In fact, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, before the coming of Jesus, there will come an apostasy, the apostasy of the church, of falling away from the faith. And after the apostasy comes Jesus. Imagine if Jesus is going to come here and take the apostatic, unworthy church, which most of the churches today, to heaven because it's so good and so worthy. No, the church today needs the purgings, needs the purification, just like the church of Ephesus, the church of Sardis, and all the other churches. So if you don't repent, I'm going to come and fight against you with my sword. Now, this guy thinks we're doing so bad, and that's why we're going to be raptured. That's ridiculous. Besides, there's not even scripture about that.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. These messages are deep, important for us to apply in our personal lives, and God help us to study carefully.
Amen. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, so I pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us all to be faithful.
Thank you, Lord.
You help us to be the bride, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
To have good works in Christ, good works in you. We are saved by grace, Lord.
Amen.
But we want to work for love, Lord Jesus, not because of the law.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord Jesus, in your hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ, for you, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Dear listeners, if you want to continue listening to Radio Blast, send in your questions, invite your friends to follow. This way you can evangelize them and stay in touch with us. We love you.